Madison, and WORTFM.org. And now, stay tuned for Salamat.
Worldview is written and produced by a collective of volunteers. We welcome your comments and suggestions. You can also contact us here at this station if you're interested in joining our collective to bring world issues to the airwaves.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Overture Center for the Arts, presenting the Broadway show The Kite Runner, Friday, May 24th through Sunday, May 26th, in Overture's Capitol Theater. Beginning at a kite-flying tournament in Kabul, The Kite Runner spans two decades and two continents, revealing a journey of forgiveness and shows us all that we can be good again. More information and tickets are available at Overture.com.
In Arabic, we say "Rijli ala rijlak."
Translation: my foot is on your foot.
Hey, get your foot off of mine.
We're like 8 feet apart here.
This is mainly to say we're going together. Hypothetically speaking, you tell me you're about to go somewhere and I'm really excited to join you on that journey, whether it's physical or mental.
Mm-hmm.
I say rijli ala rijlak. That means we, you and I both, buddy. And that's pretty close to the one that we may have shared with our listener in the last 10, 15 years. That's ijri ijrak bil falqa. My foot and yours are getting flogged together. That means when we're both about to get punished for the same crime, don't cry to me about the consequences of your behavior. Translation for the next one is your foot and mine are awaiting the lashes.
That sounds ominous.
You know the falqa. You've heard of fal'a, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fal'a is, ladies and gentlemen, is a method of punishment that has to be illegal globally, but it's a method of torture that is considered one of the oldest methods of torture known to man.
Somebody's foot?
Yeah, but the technique is quite interesting because it's still used against young people. I remember in school in Damascus, they would threaten somebody, and somebody may have been flogged a few times. I wasn't part of the viewership. But it's considered one of the investigation methods also to extract confessions from people.
So, okay. So you say you were never part of the viewership. Were you ever on the receiving
end?
Never got your feet flogged?
Never. It used to, you know, like I said, it was used in schools. I think it may still be the case. I have to contact some relatives in Syria to see if they're still using this. But if you don't abide by school rules, there's a punishment called fal'a. And you have a couple of people. The person in question, the person that's being flogged, is on the ground, feet tied to a stick held by two people. So there's a punisher and then two assistances.
Like a group activity. One of those getting to know you exercises.
Fun filled. According to the punished person, who was pinned on his back on the floor and his feet are bare. So they were raised upwards, held on a stick. You may be fixed either by tying them to a stick or held by one person between one's legs and then one person. Anyway, it involves more than one person because he who's getting his feet flogged is not going to be willing to say, okay, I'm ready to lay down here and give you my feet. And you go ahead and smack me all you want with your stick. Yeah. It could be a stick.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It could be a leather belt.
Yeah,
I think I've heard about that.
I would not be lying down for that either person.
Or a whip or a wooden stick. How about a wooden stick? Okay, how about a braided electrical cable? 110. Unelectrocuted.
Still no.
No flogging for you.
Although, I would point out there are actually sort of a spectacular number of states in the U.S. that still allow corporal punishment in schools.
I'd like to challenge that one because I don't think they that's just too crude, if you ask me.
No, I think it's barbaric,
yeah,
personally. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, on that very, very upbeat note, you are listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, art, music, someday food again. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
That was Rowan Atollah, translator extraordinaire. We promise not to flog you on your feet on this beautiful...
Thank you.
A little wet and nippy. And then what happened? Yesterday was beautiful. And then today we got the wet... sloppy weather, 28th day of April.
Well, we are in the Midwest, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm fully realizing that tragedy. April 20th, let's see, the 28th day of April 2024, also known as the 19th day of Shawwal in the year 1445 after Hijra in the Islamic calendar. Today's show is quite busy.
Yes.
Do you want to dive into a couple of events for coming up this week? And I want to do a Gaza recap because I feel like we haven't been talking much about the events that are shaping that fluster clock.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about, not just Gaza, but like Gaza related stuff happening mm-hmm. here in this country. But yes, mm-hmm. So just to recap events in general for the week upcoming, we do have this coming Wednesday, May 1st at Giant Jones Brewery. That's the Music for Gaza relief show. And that is starting, I think doors open at 4 and music is on from 5 until 8. There will be pizza available for ordering online from Origin Breads next door. Invite everybody to come down for a good cause and, you know, sample what the brewery has to offer, order some pizza, and enjoy some lovely music. Just slightly further out on the 4th is the virtual book club, Read Palestine. You will be able to find a link to that event on the Salamat Facebook page. This is happening tomorrow morning, right? So it's important everybody know about this if you don't already. Tomorrow morning, Monday, April 29th at Library Mall here on the UW campus, there is a protest for divestment. This is a rally for Gaza in solidarity with all co-strugglers for Palestine. This is being organized primarily by Students for Justice in Palestine. This is expected to be a fairly large demonstration protesting not just the occupation, not just the war, but UW complicity in war crimes in Gaza and against the repression of student protests taking place around the country. University administration has already been issuing press statements and students receiving emails threatening potential consequences for students in light of recent campus protests across the country. Community support for this is going to be crucial to protect students from targeted retaliation and try to prevent the kind of police violence that we've seen at some of the other protests, which we may have time to talk about a little bit of that later in the show.
Thank you, Rowan. I believe that the safety of the Jewish students was listed as utmost importance in this in these events that are being perpetrated by these Palestinian supporters. Mm-hmm. Not mentioning at all that the Palestinians are the victims here in the sense that it is not safe to live anywhere in the world right now being called a Palestinian because it's suddenly became, the campaign of making it a dirty word has pretty much succeeded. Living obviously under the occupation of Israel has not been mentioned here as a threat to Palestinians. And the constant threats that take place against those who support Palestine or even acknowledge the presence of Palestine, those people receive quick and brutal revenge, instantaneous revenge by the powers that be here in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's also important to point out it's completely disingenuous to say that this is to protect Jewish students. Okay, it may be to protect pro-Israel Jewish students, but a large number of the attendees at a lot of these protests across the country have in fact been Jewish students who are rightfully horrified by Israel's actions in Gaza.
Yes, and such as our friends at Jewish Voice for Peace and other Students for Justice in Palestine who happen to be of a Jewish religious background. The State Department, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, is expanding his Middle East trip to Israel and Jordan during this week after he visited with the Saudi at the Riyadh Economic Forum. This was at the behest of the neighbors of Israel, asking that the Israelis are going to invade Rafah, according to Palestinians on the ground there. The State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said that Mr. Blinken will focus on efforts to secure a ceasefire in Gaza that includes the release of hostages and ensure humanitarian aid into the enclave that, that is a pretty much destroyed plot of land where the remaining Palestinians that live there are pretty much living in what the UN described as in deplorable, beyond description conditions. Right. And then U.S. President had repeated his clear position on the Rafah to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who, by the way, believes secretly and openly that he doesn't have to listen to the U.S. regardless of how or what they tie the U.S. assistance with. So on Sunday, this is the attempt by the White House was to emphasize that he does not want Israel to invade Rafah without a plan to evacuate civilians, which I think the Israelis would love to evacuate the civilians to Egypt. To never return to Palestine. And that's the fear of the Palestinians, that if we ever leave this will happen. And this is not the first time this particular population of Palestinians have been displaced. Some of them have been displaced in 1948, 1967, and 1973, and now again after the last blockade of Gaza.
2023 and 2024,
et cetera. So if you look at the White House statement, it's clear that Mr. Biden, quote, reaffirms his ironclad commitment to Israel's security. This is, in a way, giving them a blank check to do whatever they choose in order to determine what their security is. Again, not looking at what the Palestinians' security and the necessity to protect the Palestinians, even as the Israelis continue occupying more of Palestine and displacing more Palestinians. Yep. So apparently there are a couple of Israeli ministers who are differing on the Gaza truce deal, and some obviously with the right-wing, extremely right-wing government that Mr. Netanyahu has now. The hodgepodge. They all want to go in again into Gaza, kick the Palestinians out and create new settlements for the Israelis and just call it part of the greater Israel from the Nile to the Euphrates. And that's, for those of you who know where that is, that's a big chunk of land. So apparently the Israelis claim that they will be increasing the amount of aid going into Gaza, according to the military. But that remains to be seen. It's a lot of chatter, but nothing is really happening on the ground. This is the
one-stop shop for hot soup and executions. It'll be great.
While you're looking or standing in line to get some of that food assistance, it is tragic. But the good news is the kitchen. World Central Kitchen has announced, I don't know if they already started, that they are going to resume some of the help to feed some of the victims in Palestine.
Well, related notes. So last week we reported, and I said at the time I didn't think I was ever going to be reading a headline about this on the air in my lifetime, but the U.S. had actually announced possible sanctions against a specific unit, military unit, that was operating in the West Bank. This is another headline that I'm a little bit stunned to be reading. And again, just like with the sanctions, I don't imagine that this is necessarily going to amount to much. But Al Jazeera announced less than an hour ago that the Israeli government received indications and that the ICC could issue an arrest warrant for Netanyahu and some other ministers. So they received this from what they describe as senior legal officials, that the ICC prosecutor is considering issuing arrest warrants for officials, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This was reported on Israel's Channel 12, by the way. And, you know, ICC is, of course, currently investigating Israel's actions in both the West Bank and Gaza Strip. In addition to Netanyahu, these investigations could lead to warrants being issued for Defense Minister Yoav Gallant and Chief of Staff Herzi Halevi. The Israeli newspaper Mariv also reported that Netanyahu is, quote, frightened and unusually stressed, end quote, by the possibility of an ICC arrest warrant. Last Friday, though, Netanyahu posted on X, formerly Twitter, that under his leadership, Israel will never accept any attempt by the ICC to undermine its inherent right of self-defense. The ICC case is separate from several ongoing cases against Israel at the ICJ, including one brought by South Africa that alleges Israel is committing genocide in its continuing war on Gaza. The ICJ was created to resolve conflicts between states. The ICC prosecutes individuals for crimes.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who just tuned in and you weren't sure what the World Central Kitchen returning to Gaza means, it means the following. Not too long ago, 7 employees of the organization that is on the ground trying to feed the refugees living in makeshift tents, World Central Kitchen, had 7. This is after coordinating events to deliver food to the Palestinians there. They had 7 of their employees bombed, killed by the air, by air missile attacks by Israeli army, who claimed that they did not get the note. The internal investigation by the Israelis was rejected by the World Central Kitchen, saying that we needed a third party to do this without the presence of the Israeli army over their shoulder determining what is said and what is not. That has not happened. They were informed that the Israelis are working on a neutral party, a second party, not a third, like a non-army, but yet an Israeli entity that will be investigating this. But World Central Kitchen at the time said that they're suspending operations because it's just not safe, not even near hospitals or anywhere in Gaza, including the Rafah, supposedly the last enclave of the bastion of safety. It is not.
No.
Massacres are taking place daily. There's no rest for the weary. They can't sleep. There are drones flying overnight over the heads. Hospitals, underground, overground, you name it, there's no safe place anywhere in the West Bank. So the dilemma here was for the kitchen, World Kitchen, to determine when and if it becomes safe for them to bring the aid convoys back. I'm optimistic that they will bring back the food, but the so far, according to the Israeli military officials, says it was a grave mistake, and this is obviously a series of failures, including a breakdown of communication and violations of military operations procedure, something that the Israeli army is doing regularly with civilians and children. Rowan?
Yes. Back over on this side of the pond. Apparently, Google is going on a firing spree, not a hiring what? Spree. Google
By
has
fire?
Been accused of throwing a tantrum after sacking more than 50 workers in response to a protest over the company's military ties to the Israeli government. Firings that have shone a light on a controversial project and long simmering tensions between staff and management. Workers were fired following protests at Google offices in New York and Sunnyvale, California, organized by No Tech for Apartheid, an alliance of Google and Amazon workers, who have been protesting against a $1.2 billion contract with the Israeli government called Project Nimbus, that they claim will make it easier for the Israeli government to surveil Palestinians and force them off their land. Initially, Google fired 28 workers over the protests and then fired more than 20 workers a few days later. These are the largest firings to occur since the military campaign began on October 7th. And, yeah, of course, since October 7th, right, more than 34,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza, including more than 14,000 children and 9,670 women. Google has fired and reprimanded workers for participating in protests before, such as over a 2018 walkout and sit-in protest about sexual harassment issues at the company, but not previously to this extent.
Well, I tell you, they need this. Israel needs this. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying they need it. Because if you think about where they're at, you cannot continue a brutal occupation and a colonization of a peoples who are just refusing to die.
Mm-hmm.
And had all of the Palestinians were wiped out in 1948, not just a few massacres here and there, and that would have eliminated the need to ever deal with somebody who's going to always, forever, generation after generation, reclaim their homeland that is now reclaimed by colonialist occupation under the guise of a religious movement. But it's a mere, like I said, occupation of the territory and control of a much, much larger territory in the Middle East. So I think Google is caving into pressure from the Israelis. The Israelis need Nimbus.
No, I don't. I don't know if they're caving into pressure. I think they think they're that nobody's going to be able to touch them because they're Google. I mean, they've got their fingers everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other unsavory and long-term embarrassing response to people speaking up on Palestine, University of Southern California, which has been, sort of sparring with their protest camp. There's a whole list of universities that have, Palestinian solidarity camps on their campuses, many of which are being met with special attention from the police. But USC had previously canceled the graduation speech from this year's valedictorian. This is a couple weeks ago. Asna Tabassum, a biomedical engineering major and first-generation American of South Asian descent. According to reports, the school said this decision was made due to security concerns because of warnings of a plan to disrupt the ceremony that came from emails and other electronic communications. One of them targeted Tabassum, a Muslim student who has been vocal regarding her support for Palestinians. So this week, or last week rather, they've gone one step further. USC has actually canceled its main graduation ceremony, and dozens more college students were arrested, of course, at other campuses nationwide. College officials across the U.S. seem to be, according to the AP, worried that the ongoing protests could disrupt plans for commencement ceremonies next month.
Mm.
Some universities, of course, have, like we said, brought in police, resulting in quite a few ugly scuffles and hundreds of arrests. Schools such as Columbia University in New York continued to negotiate with protesters who first set up an encampment last week. At California State Polytechnic University, Humboldt faculty members met with students who have barricaded themselves inside a campus building since last Monday to try to negotiate a solution.
Hmm.
And then they shut down the whole campus earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm. And in his infinite wisdom, the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, and I got to give this man some credit here because he knows he's just a puppet. He just can't find that fist.
I guess there's something to be said for knowing your place in the world order.
Hand
right?
up in him, he's not able to find whose hand that is. But Mr. Mr. President, he had commented a couple of times about the Palestinian-related protests by the student. When they say American students at American universities, they're almost dismissing that there's way more than just American students who are protesting this. If you ask people like Code Pink and Jewish Voice for Peace and hundreds of other organizations that feel that this is a humanitarian issue before it became Palestinian issue.
Right.
They're all living and sitting the same thing in these encampments without the encampment kind of thing.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, all of the in a lot of the media reports, you know, in the U.S., see, you know, they're trying to spin this like this is like, oh, you know, those unruly college students, they're just, you know, they're just being
they're
uppity
being leftists,
or they're being, or, you know, whatever, like
disconnected.
Right. But, you know, hey, how about the right of the people peaceably to assemble? Right. This is a constitutional right. And what's funny is, like, I've seen commentary from like right wing folk. Right. Including, you know, like Senator Cotton basically saying that, you know, private citizens should just take matters into their own hands and deal with the protesters as they see fit. Right. Which is absolutely absurd. But I would be willing to bet when that group of ranchers a few years ago was, you know, just taking over and occupying federal land, I think most of the right wing people were behind them.
Yeah, it depends on what side of the fence on. But the Palestinian Authority president, Mr. Mahmoud Abbas, said only the United States could stop Israel from attacking the border city of Rafah and Gaza, or only the United States could have stopped what is happening now, a few months later, adding that the assault on the Palestinians, which experts say that within days could force much more of the Palestinian population to flee the enclave. He called on the United States of America to ask Israel to not carry out the attack on Rafah, but also I know that in closed circles he knows that Mr. Netanyahu controls American policymakers. He controls in a lot of ways what the AIPAC here in the U.S. does, which pretty much determines the path of the political elite.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, we're not being represented by the political elite who decide. By their pocket, whoever is paying them the most money gets their wishes
of
granted.
Of course.
Based on that. So Mr. Abbas said even a small strike on Rafah would force the Palestinian population to flee Gaza, and that would be permanent. So Mr. Abbas just woke up from his nap and realized what's happening here is a permanent removal of the Palestinians from the last piece of the occupied Gaza Strip. Hello, you? Anybody awake? I look at this guy and just shake my head in dismay.
He does look like he's asleep most of the time.
Between he and Biden, they could be snoring while looking awake. But they're hey, what time is it?
We got about two minutes left.
Yeah, let's talk musically speaking.
Okay, so this week's musical interlude is this is a new release from Palestinian artist Ahmed Eid. This is off his debut EP. Aghani Akhira is the name of the EP.
The last songs.
This track is called Sabr Ayyub.
Sabr Ayyub.
This is a blend of this is contemporary electronic music, but if you are a longtime listener to Middle Eastern music, you will recognize there's a lot of traditional going on here. But I will stop talking now so that we can actually listen to a little bit of this track. This is Sabr Ayyub from Ahmed Eid.
فرح موجوع حاملته غياب وعود صبر أيوب ما في حدا احتمل وجوع بلد مهجور تارك للقلب مزروع
And
Sabar Ayub.
That is about all we have time for this evening.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You have been listening to another episode of Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues, music, art, and whatever other shenanigans we manage in 30 minutes' time on the air. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Stay tuned for the Pachyderm Parade coming up next here on WORT 89.9 FM. In the meantime, we bid you all farewell by saying, as always, in Arabic,
Assalamu alaikum.
In English, peace be upon you. وين محور على حدود صارت خيامهم دور بين الحلم والغنوة فك فكوا الخيوط حتى من هالقيود لو رفندوا الأرض بظل الحر حي ومسموع ولو أسرتوا الضي بظل الحر نهر لشموع ولو رفندوا الأرض بظل الحر حي ومسموع ولو أسرت الضي بظل الحر نهر لشموع
Make Music Madison, a free musical extravaganza on June 21st, the longest day of the year, is now accepting registrations from area musicians. Whether you are a student, amateur, part-time professional, or established artist, you are welcome and encouraged to register on MakeMusicMadison.org. There is no audition process, and Make Music Madison is open to all ages, skill levels, and genres. All you need to do is register, show up, and perform. For more information, go to MakeMusicMadison.org. Make Music Madison is a free musical extravaganza on Friday, June.